Amen. Our children are going to be going to children's church. I hope that you never get tired of hearing a message that is centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you never get tired of hearing a message about salvation and how a person is saved and that kind of thing. You know, sometimes we get into this thing as believers where we think, well, we don't need to hear that. We've already received Jesus, and a lot of us have been Christians for a long time, and we get this idea that what we really need is, Pastor, just tell us how to live for Christ. Tell us how to live for Christ. Well, we need to know how to live for Christ, but one of the things we need to understand as believers is there are times when we just need to hear what it means to be saved and how a person comes to know Jesus. We need to hear that over and over and over again. Not necessarily because we doubt your salvation, but it's because there's something about hearing how a person comes to know Jesus that encourages us, that we think back to when we placed our faith and trust in Jesus. We think back to when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, and we're encouraged in whatever problems we may be facing, whatever situations may be all around us, we realize that the most important thing that needed to happen in our lives has happened, and that's Jesus Christ lives in our lives. We need to rehearse that over and over again. And if it ever gets to the point where you can hear a gospel message and hear a message about salvation and leave it with just this ho-hum attitude and leave it by not really having any joy in your heart at all, there is something very wrong with you, because it should encourage us. It should put us on cloud nine. It should cause us to rejoice in everything that Jesus Christ has done. Jesus was on the outskirts of Jericho in Luke chapter 19, first 11 verses. He was walking into Jericho. There was a little man there in Jericho that had heard that Jesus was coming and had heard some of the miracles that Jesus had performed. And he wanted just to catch a glimpse of him. Because if there was a man in Jericho that was lost, it would be Zacchaeus. He was lost. He had lost himself to money and material possessions. He had lost himself to his relationships with his family because he had betrayed all of his friends and all of his family by becoming an employee of the Roman government and collecting taxes. And he had lost himself to his relationship with God. He was lost. And he thought maybe if he could just get a glimpse of this man that he heard so much about, that would at least help him some. And so he begins to go to the outskirts of town, and there's great crowds that are gathering, and he spots a sycamore tree. And because he's a short guy, he decides, I'm going to climb up in that tree, and I'm going to look to see if I can just catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. So he's perched out on that limb, wanting to get a glimpse, but we all know that he needed more than a glimpse of Jesus. That's true of all of us. There was a time in my life where I needed more than just to know about Jesus. I needed to know him. And there was a time in my life where I was seeking, but I really wasn't seeking to know him as much as I was just seeking to sort of get a glimpse of him. That's where Zacchaeus was. And so he's waiting and he's looking. And to his shock and amazement, he discovers that the person that he is seeking is really seeking him. Because he stops under the sycamore tree and he looks up at Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down because I want to come to your house today. Zacchaeus was wanting to get a glimpse, just to get a glimpse. He was seeking to see Jesus, but little did he know that day his life would be forever changed because Jesus was seeking him. And he called him out of that tree and went home with him. And the scripture tells us that before the day was over, Zacchaeus is standing up in front of his friends, and he's saying, you know, I have decided today that I'm going to take all of my possessions and give half to the poor. And I've also decided that if I have defrauded anyone, and as a tax collector, he had. If I have defrauded anyone, I will return to them fourfold what I've taken. And Jesus' words in verse 9 of chapter 19, notice what he said. He said, today salvation has come to this house. Something had changed about Zacchaeus. He once was lost, but now he was found. Jesus sought him, found him, and saved him. But Jesus says more. Jesus told him that salvation had come to his house, and then he said, because to the others around him, he said, because he too, Zacchaeus, also is a son of Abraham. You realize how that must have hit the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders that were in that room that day? He's what? This tax collector? This traitor? This despicable person is a son of Abraham? But Jesus pronounced him so. But the most important thing Jesus said that day is verse 10. Notice what he said. For the Son of Man, that is Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. God is still here in 2024. He is still here, and we do not have to be afraid. He is still here, and he is sovereign and also at work. He is still here, and he still speaks. All we need to do is listen. He is still here, and he listens when we pray. And he is still here to save. To save. What does our world need to hear today? More than that message. Jesus Christ is here to save that which is lost. But Jesus says even more than that. He just doesn't say, hey, I've come to save you. He has said, look, I've come to do something extra. I've come not only to save you, but I'm going to seek you until I save you. I'm going to go after you where you are. That's exactly what we see Jesus saying. He wanted the world to understand that God wasn't some far-off God who just seemed to wring his hands and hope that people would come to him. No, God was on a search and rescue mission through his son Jesus. He sent him into the world to search and to rescue those who were lost. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've got good news for you today. If you're feeling lost this morning, Jesus Christ is seeking you. Because that's what he does. That's what he does for lost people. He seeks them out. And most of the time he knows where we are. Well, all the time he knows where we are. And he seeks us. He knows exactly where to go to seek us out. Jesus told three stories right here in the Gospel of Luke. It was probably earlier than when he had this situation with Zacchaeus. But he was trying to get this message across to the scribes and Pharisees and all the Jewish rulers and leaders about how God wanted to bring salvation to the world and how he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it was in a room full of scribes and Pharisees and Jewish rulers that he told these three stories. Three very familiar stories. We all know them, but I'm going to tell them to you anyway. First, he told them the story about a lost sheep. A shepherd who had 100 sheep. He counted them one day and one was gone. And he was so concerned about the lostness of that one sheep that he was willing to leave the other 99 and to go search for the one that was lost. And that's what he did. And he searched for the one that was lost until he found him. And not only that, but when he found the sheep, he did not take time to stand there and talk about how dumb that sheep was and how lost he had been and how terrible he was. He didn't even say, the shepherd didn't even say, come on, follow me. No, the shepherd was so concerned about the lostness of that sheep to be certain that he restored that sheep to where that sheep needed to be. He picked him up and put him on his shoulders and carried him back to the other 99. But it didn't stop there either. When the shepherd got that sheep to the other 99 and his flock was restored, he called all of his friends and he said, I found the sheep that I'd lost. And they all rejoiced and they were happy and they celebrated. And Jesus was telling this story to help us to understand that this is God's attitude about lostness. This is God's attitude about when you and I go astray. This is God's attitude about a person who deliberately walks away from him and is lost, lost to everything. God is willing to leave the other 99. Jesus is willing to leave the other 99 and go find the one, because the one who is lost is just as precious and maybe even more precious than the 99 that are in the flock. And he goes and finds him and brings him back. It's a picture. It's a picture of how Jesus seeks to save the lost and how much he values just one. How much he values just one. He values you. He values me. He values every person in this room. He cares about where you are. He cares about when you're missing in action. He cares about when you're missing in his fellowship. He cares about how lost you might be, and cares so much about it, he's willing through his son Jesus to come find you, throw you over his shoulder, and bring you back. What a wonderful story. Jesus was trying to get them to understand that there is a God out there, and that God is a God who is here, and he seeks, and he saves. Then he tells a story about a lost coin. I like this story because every time I read this story, I think, this is a picture of my wife. When something is lost, or when the floor needs swept, man, she's always there to sweep it. And so I always picture Cindy sweeping the floor when I read this. I always picture her turning on the lights so she can get a good view of what she's sweeping. She's a hard worker. Have I said enough? Okay. Anyway, this woman has 10 coins and she notices that she's missing one. She surmises that she's probably dropped it on the floor or something like that. She begins to look for it. And one way that she looks for it is she turns on the lamp and she begins to sweep the floor, hoping that it will turn up the lost coin. And as she's sweeping the floor, she does find the lost coin, and she's happy. And she picks up the lost coin, she puts it in with the rest of the coins. She calls her friends and says, the coin I lost, I found. Come and rejoice with me. And they rejoice over the fact that she found her lost coin. And again, Jesus is saying, this is God. This is how God seeks and saves us. Sometimes we get lost, and he turns on a light, and he gets the broom out, and he sweeps till we turn up. Have you ever been swept by God? It looks a whole lot like discipline sometimes. And God discovers where we are and picks up the coin, rescues it, reunites it with the other 10, and he rejoices. He rejoices. You know what really encourages me about these stories that Jesus told is that they always ended with rejoicing. It was finding what was lost was a joy. And Jesus was trying to communicate to us that if there's anything that should bring joy to us, it's when a lost person comes to know Jesus. Then he tells a third story that's a little bit harder to understand in the way of seeking and saving. Because it's about a father whose younger son comes and says, "Father, give me my inheritance." And the father gives him his inheritance. And in just a few short days, he leaves his father's house and goes into a far country. And there, the scripture tells us that he wasted his inheritance. And then after he'd wasted all of his inheritance on wild and crazy living, he experienced a famine in the land. And he ended up getting a job, because his resources were gone, getting a job slopping pigs. And in fact, the scripture tells us that he was so hungry and so stricken by poverty and hunger that he was tempted to eat the slop that the pigs ate. That's how bad it had gotten for him. But at that point, the scripture tells us he came to his senses and he recognized that even his father's servants had it better than him. And he would go back home and he would tell his father how sorry he was, and he would apply for a servant's job. Just a servant's job. One of the things about this story is that Jesus doesn't talk about how the father sought him. Does he? The father's at home. The father doesn't follow the son wherever he goes. He just stays at home and waits. I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is sometimes God seeks us by just waiting. Sometimes God seeks us like the father who stays at home and waits for the son to exhaust his energy and to exhaust his resources and to come to his senses and to turn around and come back. Sometimes that's how God seeks us. Has he ever sought you that way? Where you said, "God, this is what I want." And God says, "Okay, you can have it." And you go out and you enjoy everything that you thought God had given you, and you waste it and give it away, and all of a sudden you realize you're empty, and you have no place to go, and you're hungry, and you've blown it. Yet God hasn't moved. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still where he is. You know where to find him. You know where to go. The young man knew he could find his father at home. I think the whole time his father was at the house, as he was waiting, he was seeking. How was he seeking? Well, he was making a ring to give to this young man when he came back home to symbolize that I receive you back as my son. He had put away his sandals so that when he came back and he didn't have any sandals, he could put them on his feet. He had a robe embroidered so that when he came back, he'd have something to put on his back, because he was probably going to come back pretty tattered. He waited, but he sought him. Everything he put together to have ready when the son came back was a part of seeking his son to come back. And that day when the father looked down the road and there came that son who was coming back, he was ready to go meet him where he was. And the father met him on the road, embraced him, gave him the ring, gave him the robe, the sandals. He even fatted up a calf for him so that they could celebrate that his son had come back. In fact, for this father, when the son came back, the scripture tells us it was just like his son had come back from the dead. That's how much joy the father had about his son returning. And they threw a big party. This father sought his son even as he waited on the front porch to see him return. See, these three stories tells us that God is a God through Jesus Christ, who seeks to save the lost. Don't ever forget that. You may have a loved one in your life where you're wondering if God is ever going to reclaim. Just remember, God seeks, Jesus seeks to save the lost. I think there are several principles I want us to take out of these three stories and the fact that Jesus, even there in Zacchaeus' house, said, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." When Jesus was saying that he came to seek and save that which was lost, he was saying, "This is my passion. This is what I live for. This is my passion, is to see lost people saved. This is my passion, is to seek lost people where they are lost and reclaim them." It was his passion. He was also saying that this is my purpose. This is why I came. I have come for this. You see, what we need to understand is that the cross of Jesus was no accident. The cross of Jesus was a planned event by a holy God who loved us and wanted to reclaim us and wanted to bring us back into his fellowship. And he sent his only begotten Son into the world, and he sent him to us to seek and to save us. It was no accident. It was planned. It was not only his passion and his purpose, but it was urgent. It was urgent. He was saying that seeking and saving the lost was an urgent matter. Good news is not so good if the good news doesn't get to the people who need the good news in time. Dead people don't hear the good news. Only people who are still alive. There's an urgency. There's an urgency for Jesus to seek and to save the lost, because our human lives are not eternal. And we only have a span of time to experience who Jesus is and experience the salvation that he offers. And Jesus seeks to save that which is lost. It's urgent. It was his passion. It was his purpose. It was his initiative. It was his initiative. Jesus didn't talk about how the woman who had lost the coin had to be convinced she needed to go find it. She took the initiative, didn't she? The shepherd who went to find that one lost sheep took the initiative. Didn't have to be told by someone, "You really know you need to go find that lost sheep." We need to understand that Jesus Christ, seeking and saving the lost, it's his initiative, it's his idea. He's working at it. He's out there doing it. We need to understand that it is his initiative. He was saying that seeking and saving the lost was a search and rescue mission that was motivated by God's love through Jesus. And also, seeking, searching, and saving the lost tells us that in Jesus Christ, there's no one that's out of reach. No one is out of reach. You might think there's some loved ones in your life that's pretty much out of reach. You don't see any hope of them ever turning to God. We always run into those kinds of situations and circumstances where it seems like the more we talk and the more we try to cajole and the more we try to convince someone to consider Jesus Christ, the further away they get. But what we need to understand is that in reality, no matter how far they may seem to be away from God, they are never so far away that they have escaped the limits of God's reach, because God can reach them anywhere they are. We need to understand that When Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost, there is nobody out of his reach. Zacchaeus wasn't out of his reach. The young son who had gone into a far country wasn't out of his reach. No one is too far where they've escaped the reach of God's saving arm and saving hand. Jesus' blood is greater than any sin that you and I can be engaged in and be involved in. He has the power to transform every sinner. And the reach of the Lord, the reach of God is limitless. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. But also, we need to understand that seeking the lost to share the gospel is our responsibility as well. We don't save people, God does. But God has given us the Great Commission to go make disciples. He's given us the challenge to go share the gospel with our friends and neighbors and our family. And we are to seek out people who don't know the Lord and to share the gospel. Someone has said that witnessing and sharing Christ is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone we can and leaving the results up to God. And that's what we're to be doing. We need to understand that it's also our responsibility to seek out those who are lost and to share the gospel with them and leave the results up to God. God is here. And his son Jesus, he seeks the lost until they are found. He seeks the lost through us. Is there someone in your home, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in the circle of your relationships that you know have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus? They're there for you to seek and to share and leave the results up to God. What does all this mean? It means that Jesus can save anyone. Jesus can save anyone. There's no one out of his reach. There's no one that has disqualified themselves to the point where God cannot save them anymore. God, Jesus Christ, can save anyone. Anyone in this room, he can save you. Which means we should share the gospel with everyone. If God can save anyone, we need to share the gospel with everyone. We shouldn't be marking X's over anybody's face. We should be looking to check them off. We should share with everyone. And we should pray for everyone. I've gotten in trouble for saying this because some people disagree with me, but I'm convinced no one has ever come to Jesus without first having someone that has prayed for them. We need to pray for everyone. The first step in sharing the gospel with someone is to pray for them and pray that God would do some things in their life that we cannot do. And pray that God would wake them up to the gospel and wake them up to their need in their life and make them so feel so uncomfortable, either put a rock in their shoe that every time they take a step, it becomes so painful they can only think of Jesus, or something of that nature where they understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. But no one has ever come to Christ without first being prayed for. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Let's bow our heads together. Father, today we come to the close of this service as we sing. Our prayer is that if there's someone here who has never placed their faith and trust in you, that today, Father, they might hear you calling them and they might respond and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Father, there may be someone right here in this room that you're seeking today. Father, I pray that today they might cry out to you and accept the salvation, forgiveness of sin that you offer. And then, Father, as we sing, that they might in some way acknowledge that decision, whether it's to come and share that decision here at the front with me, or whether after the service they just seek out someone, myself or an elder, and let them know, hey, this is what God has done in my life today. But Father, we pray that you would have your way in the life of every person here. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to invite you to surrender all to Him this morning. Would you sing?